Today, as we come to the table,
we talked about how these women were ministering to the flock and how we as men need to be ministering to the flock as well, the flock of the Father, if you will. I find it interesting that just as soon as these godly shepherdesses attempted to water their father's flock, there was somebody there to try and stop it. Such is ministry. Whether it's through discouragement, whether it's through attack, whether it's really somebody there that's in the way. Whenever you step out and try to take care of the Father's flock and you begin to give them food and water and love on them, there's going to be opposition. But the neat thing is God will always, you know, break through and send you the help that you need. And here's what happens. Moses comes in and he does it.
There's something you need to know about doing good for the glory of God. The enemy hates it. Pastor Mark gives you a great example of this today and will continue to as you study the book of Exodus. The enemy of God, Satan, wants nothing more than to stand in the way of people hearing the truth. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. Now, knowing that Satan will oppose you ministering to others may scare you, but Pastor Mark needs you to know something. You're not alone. God is always with you as you serve Him, and He's fighting for you. You can turn to Him with your battle and let Him take care of it. Just keep doing what He's asking you to do. Now, open your Bible to Exodus 2 as Pastor Mark continues sharing Moses' story on Come to the Table.
You know, I really believe that if we make God our number one priority, we make the Word of God and we sit by the well, Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God, and what? All these things will be added. And I know He was talking about our clothes, our food, and all that, but I believe there's an application there that goes beyond that. You seek Me first, I will bring your bride to you. You seek Me first, I will bring your husband to you. But if we get all wrapped up in seeking a bride or a husband, then I think we're going to miss the one that we should be seeking first, and that's the Lord. Because there's not going to be a successful marriage without Him being number one anyway. And so it's interesting to me to see the whole picture here that God's painting. When Moses gets his wife, he's sitting by the well, and there's a spiritual picture in this for us. His focus was on God's word, drinking it in, focusing on the blessings of God. And so God brings him to her, and I think that's how God works. Now, the second thing I noticed about this was not only did God bring him a wife, God brought him a godly wife. Now, it doesn't have to be a pastor's daughter. Not all pastor's daughters are godly. But obviously, these were. And God brought him a godly woman to be a companion with him. And that was encouraging to me because, again, anybody can find a woman. And any woman can find a man. But if you wait on God and sit by the well and trust in Him, then God brings a wife. God brings a husband. God is the one who does that. It's, you know, even Adam, look at the whole picture in the garden, Adam and Eve. Adam didn't go out looking for her. God worked in Adam's life. Put Adam in a deep sleep. And then he brought, you know, Eve to him. And so, again, I'm not saying we need to be a recluse and that kind of thing. The point is, I think we just need to trust God and say, God, I'm going to put you first, and you'll be the one that brings the gentle comfort in my life. You'll be the one that has the tender mercies. If I need a wife or a husband, you're going to bring one. I'm going to trust you. But right now, my focus is going to be on you. And focus zeroed in, Lord. I'll trust you with all the other details. So he brings him a godly wife, and he brings a godly wife while he's sitting by the well. To me, that whole picture, I believe the Holy Spirit is painting of how we're supposed to be. And again, he would need a godly wife. He's called to be a pastor. He's going to be pastoring a church of over 2 million people. Let me tell you something. You think the 40 years in the wilderness was hard? Wait till he gets to be a pastor. Because we're going to see that these 2 million people grumble the entire 40 years. Now, what's amazing to me, and I understand this, because I've been there, but I'm not there anymore. You know, I've heard guys say, I wish the church that I, you know, served at was bigger. I wish we had whatever. I'm content with the flock that God brings. Now, don't get me wrong. That doesn't mean that I don't want to see more people come to Christ. That doesn't mean that I wouldn't like to see Calvary Chapel grow. What it means is I've matured now, and I've now come to the place to realize with more people come more difficulties. With more people comes more pressure. With more people, the larger the ministry, the harder it is. Everybody hear me on that? So when you're wishing for this giant ministry, then realize if you really want a giant ministry and you really pray for that, it's going to take a while for God to mold you and shape you. And then when you get it, you know, you're really going to want that. I'm not trying to get anybody in this room to shy away from what God has called you to do. I want to see all of you guys used in great ways for the Lord. I want to be used in great ways for the Lord. But understand, oftentimes, you know, the picture that we have of what that means is not always, you know, it can be tough. And so Moses is now at a place to where we're going to see that by the time God does call him, you know, he's going to be pretty satisfied with where he is. And he's not going to really want to do all the things that God wants him to do. But God's now preparing him. God brings him a wife. God picks the wife that he knows that Moses needs. And God will pick the spouse that he knows that we need. And I just love this godly young girl that ministers and will minister to Moses' life, no doubt during that time out in the wilderness. Now, it's interesting to me, too, when you look at this, the one that God brought to Moses. What was she doing? She was ministering to the flock of the Father. Isn't that cool? And I think that when it comes to praying about who it is we're to marry or what God's going to do, whatever person God brings our way, if we begin to think maybe that's the person, we need to find out, look at them, say, are they ministering to the flock of the Father? Because if they're not ministering to the flock of the Father now, what makes you think they'll minister to the flock of the Father later? And this is especially true, ladies, when you're looking for a husband. Because the last thing you want to do is find a husband that's not ministering to the flock, because if he's not, that means probably you're going to end up dragging him behind you when he should be the one leading the way. So the whole thing here of just, you know, this picture of this little shepherdess ministering to the Father's flock, loving on the Father's flock, and this would be something that would get my attention. It certainly got Moses' attention, and taking care of Jethro. It's interesting, Jethro literally means friend of God. And now we see this friend of God and the daughters of this friend of God serving the flock. And anyone that serves the flock of God will always be what? The friend of God. If you're serving God's flock, you're going to be the friend of God. That just goes with the territory, because God loves his flock and God loves his people. So again, this is the kind of companion that you want to really, you know, be seeking as you're seeking that place. Now, if you're in a situation where that's not the case, just pray. You know, it's interesting. It's real easy to look and see what would be the perfect wife or the perfect husband or what we have in our mind and then think, well, I didn't get that, you know, and I don't have that or whatever, you know, pout or whatever. Listen, God takes us right where we are and he changes us, doesn't he? Wives, pray for your husbands. Husbands, pray for your wives. Ask God to make them those who tend and take care and water God's flock. Ask him to be those who lead the way. Let God do that transformation. God can do that. But now we see Moses there, and again, these daughters come up. No doubt gets Moses' attention right away. Look at verse 17. Then the shepherds came and they drove them away. But Moses stood up and helped them and watered the flock. Now this thing gets romantic here, okay? Now we see the hero riding in on the white horse. Now, this is really dirty of these other shepherds, because what would happen is there were troughs there. And what you would do is you would bring up all these bucket after bucket after bucket, and you would dump the water in the troughs. And then after you spend all that time and that effort dumping the water in the troughs, you'd bring all your little sheepies up there. And I know that's not right English. And you'd give them water and they would all drink. Well, as soon as they got these seven daughters, they get all this water there. Guess what happens? These boys come up and run them off, and they're going to let their flocks drink the water that these girls just got for their flock. So Moses sees this, and Moses is like, not going to happen. Now, Moses was a tough guy. How do I know that? Because the pharaohs and their families were trained in battle. It wasn't just the intellectual. It wasn't just the best schools of the day. They would have been warriors. They would have been trained in the military. He, no doubt, had he had a staff, could have wiped all those guys out in short order. In essence, they were like the Navy SEALs of our day. They were the ones that were the best trained. They were just different arts. They were trained for warfare. He probably knew how to use a staff. He knew how to use a sword. He knew how to fight with his hands. He was probably a very deadly weapon of his own right there. And now these guys come up and Moses steps in. And you know, you can tell when somebody knows what they're doing. Moses came in and ran them off, and he had authority and deals with these guys. No doubt they're seeing this guy, you know, come in. Moses stands up for them and drives them off. And here's their hero, right? The knight in shining armor. And Moses, again, you know, just driving the guys back, making them get in their water. Again, that's the part of the romantic story where no doubt getting their attention, and no doubt Zipporah already had her eye on him, you know, and God working on which one was going to be his wife. Moses not knowing this at the time. But this is another thing, guys, I don't want to pass by that we need to note. We talked about how these women were ministering to the flock. and how we as men need to be ministering to the flock as well, the flock of the Father, if you will. I find it interesting that just as soon as these godly shepherdesses attempted to water their father's flock, there was somebody there to try and stop it. Such is ministry. Whether it's through discouragement, whether it's through attack, whether it's really somebody there that's in the way. Whenever you step out and try to take care of the Father's flock and you begin to give them food and water and love on them, there's going to be opposition. But the neat thing is God will always, you know, break through and send you the help that you need. And here's what happens. Moses comes in and he does it. You know, and I can't tell you how many times that I've been sharing the word. You guys are probably seeing this as well. And people come out of the woodwork that can interrupt. Have you ever seen that? It's amazing. Just recently, there was somebody that God sent to me. I love these because there's really nothing you have to do but stand there and say, would you like to pray? And I was standing there in the lobby of this hotel, and this guy just came. He was the security guard of the hotel. And he walked up to me, and he just said, you know, hey, I noticed your shirt there. And, you know, I had a WIM shirt on and something, I forget what it said on the back. He said, I just had to see what's on the other side of it. I saw the back. I want to see the other side. Well, that started a conversation, and there was really not much of a conversation. He was there. He was ready to go. I just basically said, do you know the Lord? No. Would you like to? Yes. Let's pray. I mean, it was really one of those where God just put you there because they needed somebody to lead them in a prayer. And as I was beginning to share, and I realized this is a divine setup. This guy's ready to receive Christ right now. There was somebody there that, you know, I was, you know, you're waiting forever to get the attention from the attendant there, you know, at the counter. And we were off from the counter. All of a sudden, they start calling out to me, sir, can I help you? Sir, can I help you? Sir, can I help you? I went, no. I'll be there in a minute. I mean, it was very annoying. It was like this just dogging me. And finally, I said, no, thank you. And I said it politely. But in my heart, I was going, no. Leading somebody to Christ here, just be quiet a minute. And I'm saying, well, no, thank you. Doing good, you know. And can't you see we love the Lord, lady? You know, stop it. And he gave his life to the Lord right there. But I've noticed whenever God gives those opportunities, it's amazing how the enemy, you start to try to water the flock of God or those in the future. There's some interference. And I'm sure that Robert can tell you this. You've got any of those guys that have done street witnessing, you know, it's usually some drunk that comes up, you know. You'll be sharing with somebody and they're like, I want to know more. Someone goes, hey, buddy, hi. Like, why are you here now? You never would ever talk to me. And I'm not making fun of somebody being drunk, but that, how many of us, I mean, if you've street witnessed, you know what I'm talking about. And you'll set the worship team up, and they're the one that gets up in the front and go, hey, rock and roll, you know. You just want to grab them by the scruff and go, you know. But anyway, don't be discouraged, guys, when you're watering the flock. Don't be discouraged when you're watering the flock if somebody tries to stop you. And then when they do, don't get off task. Just try to gently deal with it and get right back on task. And this is where Moses comes in. Moses says, stop it. I'm going to minister, you know, let God minister here, and God does. And so they come in then. He defends them. Notice 18, it says, when they came to Reuel, by the way, that is Jethro. The two different names oftentimes used in Scripture, you'll see different names. Reuel is Jethro. When they came to the, so they get the water, their hero rescues them and all that, and they go back home. And when they came to Reuel, their father, he said, how is it that you have come so soon today? Now, that's an interesting question to me, because no doubt they took longer because of fighting with the other shepherds. I was thinking, why would it take longer? I mean, you're just going to water him. And I realized, you know, and I don't know for sure why he asked that. The Bible doesn't tell us, but knowing how these other guys treated him and Moses had to come in and defend him, then probably this was a regular routine. They would typically all water their flocks at the same time because it was a certain time of day when it was the best to water the flocks. So you'd have all the shepherds coming in at once. And no doubt when they did that, they were always, you know, Jethro's seven were probably always at the back of the line because all the others were men and they were these girls, you know. So they had to wait. And he's like, hey, how did you come so soon today? And notice verse 19, they said, an Egyptian delivered us from the hand of the shepherds. And he also drew enough water for us, that is, he gave us something to drink, and he watered our flock. I love it. Notice he not only defended them and gave their flocks water, he gave them water as well. And what a great description of what husbands are supposed to be doing. Number one, defending our wives. And number two, sharing with them the word of God. That's what we should be doing as a husband. Do we always do that 100%? Probably not. But that's really what God calls us to do, whatever that means for you and your relationship. Husband, you need to be protecting your wife and defending her. And at the same time, you need to be sharing the word with her. Now, you don't have to be intimidated by that. It's gone different ways over the years with Tracy and I. I'm kind of a very regimented schedule type person. You know, if I'm going to get it done, I've got to have my schedule together. And Tracy's freer when it comes to that stuff. So I started out by trying to say, we're going to get the word together, you know, like this, you know, have my pattern or whatever. And that just didn't work well. It didn't work as our style. So, but you adapt. Find out what works for you as a couple. You know, we'll have devotion now as a family. And all of us together will do it, you know. And so you need to find what works best for your family and sharing the Word of God with your wife. But you need to be doing that in some form and fashion, just in the Word together as a family, whatever the case might be. And give them water, because they need water as well. And this is what Moses does. So there's this beautiful picture here developing of husbands and wives as well in this whole passage. And notice verse 20, he said to his daughters, well, where is he? Why is it that you have left the man? Call him that we may eat bread. Now, no doubt they probably thought they weren't supposed to bring this guy home, you know, without dad's, you know, permission, because we as dads, you know, we're pretty protective of our daughters. And I jokingly tell my daughters, you know, when you reach, you know, marriage age around 30, then probably what's going to happen, you know, is I'm going to say, you know, I want that young man to know two things. I'm licensed in the state of Tennessee to do two things. Marry and bury. That's right. And that's just the heart of a dad. You want to protect your daughter, right? So no doubt they were like, you know, what do you mean? Why didn't we bring him? We didn't know that was an option. And I kind of see them scratching toward the door and fighting each other to go invite this handsome young man that just rescued them all. I'll get him. No, I'll get him. Shut up. Get out of the way. You know? But it was a common courtesy in this day to take in and help strangers. That was a common courtesy. And how much more one that had just helped defending the family. So Jethro says, well, why didn't you bring him back? And so no doubt they're very excited, you know, to go get this strong, handsome man who rescued them, kind of the hero thing going on there. And it was, again, you would bring a traveling stranger in, you'd give them a place to lodge, give them food. So he says, let's give him common courtesy. He's been kind to us. So they go and get him and come back, and we don't have the story of that, although I'd like to have heard it. Notice verse 21, then Moses, it says, was content to live with the man and have Zipporah, and he gave Zipporah, rather, his daughter to Moses. It's interesting here, we see Moses ends up living with them. God gives him a place to live while he's on the run. Jethro gives him one of his daughters, Zipporah. And again, just a very romantic story to me to see how God brought them together. The strong, handsome stranger who shows up out of nowhere, right? Fights off their enemies and asks now for one of them as his wife and gets to be married. And so a wonderful love story, no doubt. I'm sure we'll find out more about it in heaven, but sweet story. But it's interesting here when I look at this because we talked about the tender mercies of the Lord. This is a huge tender mercy for Moses. He's in a hard time. And right in the midst of this real hard time, God sends this gentle comfort, this tender mercy, a new wife, and just blessing and ministering to him in his loneliness and his disarray, giving him a friend, a companion. You know, this is what God does. And it's sweet of the Lord to do this, but it's very interesting to me. And I think God oftentimes gives us insight into what people are like by the words they have in the Bible, by the names they have. And you know what Zipporah means? Little bird. Now, that probably wouldn't mean much to me at all if I didn't have two little birds. But those little birds are pretty interesting. I've got a couple of parakeets. And at first you get them, you know, and they don't know you and they don't pay attention. But if you talk to them and you're sweet to them, they kind of, you know, get really friendly with you. And I can go up to the cage and start talking to them and have them hop on my finger and they'll kind of start just fluffing up. They'll fluff up and then fluff back down, you know. And there really is kind of this relationship. Those of you that have birds know what I'm talking about. And you're like, you're the sweetest little thing. I mean, I walk up and you fluff. And that's sweet. It really is. It's just kind of a sweet thing. You know, so you see this whole picture of what Zipporah was to Moses. No doubt he came home. She fluffed a little bit. And I'll tell you something else. You know, maybe the puff shoes. I don't know. Whatever. But also, you know, I don't know if other birds do this, but when they like you and they feel comfortable, their little feet get warm. So as you're talking to them, all of a sudden your fingers are getting really hot and they're sitting there fluffing and they're like, this is kind of neat. And I was thinking about Zipporah and God giving to Moses, using that example of a wife called Little Bird, and just the blessing to come home and there'd be that sweetness, probably oftentimes singing a song to a heavy heart, you know, maybe not literally singing, but just ministering to Moses. He's had a hard day. And she was just kind of fluffing for him and being sweet to him, and I'm thinking, wow, what a blessing of the Lord. This is a hard time in my life, and Lord, you've given me this, you know, this little bird here. That's really sweet to me. And so, you know, I think God shows us insight with that kind of stuff, dainty and beautiful, and I think just in spirit's what it's talking about. I don't think it's necessarily talking about, you know, her being little in that sense. We don't know what size she was. That's not the point. There's that gentleness of heart that was now ministering to Moses, and the sweet song that would comfort his heart during the difficult times as she ministered to him, you know, and the little noises they make. You know, it's interesting. I go to other people. I think birds take on the personality of the family that you're in. And Mike and Michelle have some parakeets. And you go to their house, and they just sit there real quiet and look at you. You come in my house, it's like, shut up! Sometimes it's like so loud, you can't hear. And then if we're eating dinner together, their cage is right over next to the table, and they'll get just louder as we do. It's like, ah! I turn and look at them like, oh! You know? I just think they take on the personality. We're kind of a loud family. And they take that on. I wish it wasn't true, but the truth's the truth, you know? Face it and get over it, right? And it says, and she bore him a son and called his name Gershom. For he said, I've been a stranger in a foreign land. Another jump in Moses' life. You know, we kind of get that whole 40 years is going to go by. Hadn't, the whole 40 hasn't gone by yet. It will before verse 23, where we take up next week. But still, there's this jump of time now where she gets pregnant and they have a child. A year at least goes by. And name him Gershom. It's very appropriate, I think. Why is it appropriate? Because Gershom means a stranger there. And now Moses was indeed a stranger in this land where life was hard. It was dry. Things had not gone the way he expected. He'd seen ministry fail. And in the midst of all the hardship and the sadness in the backside of the desert, God gives him a little bird who'll sing songs to his heart every so often and comfort him and minister to him, which in turn, no doubt, Moses was ministering to her. And so they had a sweet relationship. Now, lest I leave this on saying, well, that means that all their relationship was just a sweet little songbird relationship the whole time. Remember, there's going to be that moment where, you know, it's going to be, you know, you're a husband of blood to me. So marriages have their ups and downs. Doesn't mean we don't fight. Doesn't mean we don't have those hard moments. We're going to see that with Moses and Zipporah later on, and that's part of it. But still, the companionship and the sweetness of that. Guys, are you going through a hard time right now? First of all, realize that God has ordained it. He's ordained it. He's doing the work. God has put you there. How could this happen in my life? Because God put you there. God would never put me here because this is horrible. Oh, yes, he would, and he does. Because he knows that's what you need to grow. He knows that's what you need to be molded and shaped and changed. God's hand's in the midst of it. But the second thing you need to realize is that although it's hard, you're not forgotten by the Lord. You're not forgotten. God has a timetable of how long you're going to go through this and what he's going to do after. And if you endure, there will be fruit. You know, the Bible talks about the farmer who goes out with weeping, sowing the seed, you know, will come in with joy reaping at some point. There's going to be a reward for you sticking it out, okay? There's going to be a reward. And here's the neat thing to me that I have experienced in my life, and if you haven't, you will. In the midst of these times where it really seems hard and maybe forgotten by God and why is this happening and all that, God sends the little gentle comforts, the tender mercies, the Zipporahs, you know, the things in your life that just kind of say, you know what, I can do this now. I can make it. And God, you're so sweet to me. He sends refreshment is the point. God will send you refreshment. That's the God that we serve. So you're not forgotten. And when the time is right, God will lift your head. You know, the Bible says he's the lifter of our head. Why does it say that? Because oftentimes our heads hang down, don't they? It's so sad. I'm so depressed. It's so hard right now. And you just see God saying, lift your head up. I haven't forgotten you. I love you. And when the time is right, I'm going to lift you up. I'm going to set you where I want you to be, back on the mountaintop again, and we're going to sing together. We're going to sing together and rejoice together. And so that's the hope that we have, and that's what our God does. We need to thank him for the gentle comforts, don't we?
Thanks for coming to the table of God's Word with Pastor Mark for his study in the book of Exodus. This Old Testament book of the Bible is an interesting one, as it's the end of one era for the people of Israel, heading into a new season for them that leads them back to their homeland. Through the events in this book, you'll learn of God's miraculous ways of bringing people to freedom. Just looking at the seemingly impossible things that God brought about through the book of Exodus helps you realize that he's a God of power, authority, and incredible majesty. The Israelites experienced this firsthand, but it didn't take long for them to forget what he'd done. Can you relate? Perhaps you've seen God work in your life in amazing ways, but it doesn't take long to be back in a place where you feel like God isn't working in your life. If that's so, we'd really like to be a support for you in prayer. If you go to thewaymedia.net, you'll find a questions and comments link. Go ahead and fill out this form, and we'd like to know what we can be praying for, as well as any thoughts or comments about what you've heard today. You can also listen to additional teachings at thewaymedia.net. That's all the time we have for today, but Pastor Mark has more to share from the miracle-filled book of Exodus. We hope you'll join us again and learn and grow in ways that God speaks to you personally related to the things written down in Exodus. We're thankful for you taking the time today to listen, and we look forward to you joining us the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.